I'd like to lie and say it came from, you know, some small town in Wyoming that we spent some strange time in, but that's not the case. The Wyos were a 19th century gang from Lower Manhattan, the Five Points of Manhattan, probably from the 1880s through the Tammany Hall era, the 20s or so. And when the original band members met, we were spending a lot of time kind of playing music down there and just somehow or another stumbled upon some really great gang names.
And Michael, do you think your music has an outlaw character to it at all?
I do, personally. I mean, I do in the sense that we definitely have lived a life that was very reminiscent of certainly the musicians that were traveling in the 20s and 30s, where a lot of music was certainly steeped when we first began playing together. And I think because we always colored outside the lines, which sometimes can be a little, I don't know, there's a sacrosanct audience out there that really likes to kind of keep you hemmed into a certain style and a certain sound, and we always kind of played around with that sound and twisted it around a bit. So I would say, yes, that's the outlaw in us, is just kind of playing around with some of the genres that we were steeped in.
There's also a lot of humor that you bring into the music. I mean, you in particular. So we should tell listeners that you sing, you play harmonica, you play kazoo, you play percussion, and it sort of gets stranger and stranger. you play what you call sundries, right? I mean, at some point it becomes almost like sound effects.
My kind of, briefly, my education in music came from the street. I learned to play the harmonica when I was quite young and then got serious when I was in my late teens and moved to New Orleans in my early, well, I was 20 or 21. And there was this real intense street culture there of musicians. And I just kind of dug my heels in and just learned how to play the instruments on the street and then saw washboard players like, wow, that's awesome. And so found my way playing washboard and harmonica. And then to get a crowd, you start kind of using some comedy. And I was a big fan of the Silent Clown, Chaplin Keith, and Harold Lloyd. And so I kind of started throwing a little of those moves in and just developed a little bit of a solo routine, as it were, shtick, I guess. And when the Wyos formed some years later, I kind of re-employed some of those skill sets that I'd learned down there. So I think comedy was part of it. It's kind of just how to draw a crowd.
So we're talking a lot about your live performance, but a departure from that is your 2012 album, Twist, which is a song cycle based loosely on The Wizard of Oz. And on that album, you do a lot of studio layering. You do a lot of things that make the band sound bigger. So talk a bit about that approach to studio recording versus the, you know, the stripped down three-piece that you're working with in a live setting.
When we first started, the first couple of albums were completely live. It was three of us in front of a mic, and it went right to tape, and that was that. You know, it was really the way most music was recorded for most of recording history, really, if you go up through the 60s even. And then it started getting different. But I grew up listening to a lot of those kind of themed albums, you know, being a fan of 60s rock albums, among many other styles of music. And I always wanted to approach an album more like a painting than, say, what it's supposed to sound like on stage. We kind of took material that we were writing and the song cycle that we were really playing around with, and then just got ourselves an additional musician or two. We mostly us, believe it or not, with the exception of a beatboxer, Adam Mata, and a studio drummer that we're quite friendly with. And the rest was just us in a house with a ton of old instruments, and whatever stuck to the wall, we kept. There's a quality to studio work that I've come to really love as much as performing, because it's a little bit more thoughtful, it's a little bit more measured, and also it could be really just spontaneous and wild. I couldn't have made that out when I first started out playing music. It took all those years of listening and playing and learning about myself as a writer, and learning about my other co-writers, and then trusting, you know, the material. So that album was quite a joy to make.
Michael Farkas, tell me a bit about how the 2009 experience of touring with Bob Dylan, John Mellencamp, and Willie Nelson shaped the band.
Well, you know, it's a hard time to talk about because it was the end of an era in a sense. We as a band have been touring nonstop practically for 7 years at that point, or 6 years. And I think getting asked to be on that tour was obviously very exciting for us to be with kind of these legends and musicians that we, you know, really respect. It was an incredible experience. It's kind of even hard to talk about, but what I can talk about was just seeing the machine up close. You know, I mean, these guys were really polished acts. We kind of got to see the music business up close and personal, and some of it wasn't pretty. It's a business, and there was not a lot of joy that we were sensing from the musicians that we were touring with, not the band, our band, but the other musicians we were touring with. And it was illuminating. It was fun. I'm not going to kid you, but I feel the intimacy of what we do was sometimes lost in that environment. And we were the opening band, so people were like, who are these guys? After time. I mean, but it was great, too. I mean, we made a lot of fans, and it forced us to really kind of rise to the occasion, and I believe we did. So it's, you know, it's always interesting when you're putting a setting that's unique and challenging, how to kind of, you know, make it work for you.
You called it a turning point for the band.
Yeah, well, I think for a couple of us, we were done with the rigmarole. I mean, like the 7 year itch, we were at that 7 year itch with the project. And within, you know, 6 months, our guitar player decided to move back to Asheville, North Carolina. And our bass player within a certain amount of time after that, was always more interested in recording. And Teddy, the guitar player, pedal steel, multi-instrumentalist who was with us for several years prior to that, and I were just wondering what the future is, if there needs to be a future. And that's when Twist kind of came about. We found our voice and cut down our touring significantly. It's all fun and gravy again. Now it's just the band's never sounded better, and the mojo is there, and our writing is as strong as ever. So, you know, you kind of go through vicissitudes with it. I think that's important.
So it's a treat to have you coming to Casper to perform at 7 o'clock on Friday at the Walcott Galleria, and, of course, to do workshops with high school and college kids at Wheeler Concert Hall at Casper College on Thursday afternoon. And during the day, you're going to be performing for 4th and 5th graders around Natrona County schools.
Yeah, we're looking forward to all of it. I love Wyoming. I've always been a fan of the Big Sky country out there, and I'm really looking forward to it. I know the band is as well.
Well, great to have the Wyos back in Wyoming. Michael Farkas is the singer, harmonica, kazoo, washboard, and sundry other instrument player for the Wyos, and we spoke with him at home. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Mike. I really appreciate you reaching out.